in Canada, of course, as of this morning, and I know everybody is tired of the input in the daily ticker of where we stand with COVID-19, but today we're over 28,000 confirmed cases, and the good news is that there is a very high percentage of confirmed recoveries within Canada, and I think we're all lucky to be in Canada given our healthcare system and the supports that we are able to receive from our various levels of government. Now, when it comes to the COVID-19 crisis, just a little bit of a map of the various stages, and I have been researching this online, and the one that I've found that does provide good information is from the Harvard Kennedy School at the John F. Kennedy School of Government. And this outlines six phases for the COVID-19 crisis. Protection would have been prior to December of 2019 and the first reported cases. Prevention would have been after the reported cases and as we try to prepare for what the inevitable incident or onset of cases in our communities would be. The boom wasn't a specific boom, but in Canada, it was a slow rolling boom that took place over multiple days, weeks, that was compounded by individuals who were out of Canada coming back to Canada. So that created all sorts of different time frames. So there wasn't one particular day, one particular week, or even one month that could be identified as the fixed onset date. Currently, we're in response. We're all working remotely. We're working from home. We're all connecting via Zoom and doing our physical distancing and doing what we can to ensure that we mitigate the impact of COVID-19, not just in our communities, but also in our own households, because we, and thankfully we have taken some very significant steps in order to mitigate the impact of this particular pandemic in our communities, our provinces, and in Canada. The recovery phase for COVID-19 is an adaptive one. It won't look the same in every community or in every province, and certainly not in every country. So we're going to need to be adaptable to ensure that we can respond to the needs of our partners and stakeholders, but also ensure that that aligns with what is being recommended by public health officials. Having been directly involved in the Women's World Hockey Championship planning over the last year with Hockey Canada and with our local partners, we felt as if we were on the front lines of this. And we know that with the postponement of that event, as well as many other events across Canada, that the recovery is going to look very different for each event and for each community, because the realities on the ground will have different factors that aren't necessarily known today and will need to be able to pivot as required. And then resiliency, that is going to be following the recovery period. The challenge with this particular circumstance is that we don't know what that time frame is for both recovery and then resiliency. And we'll talk a little bit about that as it relates to a specific case that we will reference. And that is Fort McMurray in the Wood Buffalo region. For most people, you know Fort McMurray. You may not know Wood Buffalo region, but that is the regional municipality that Fort McMurray is a part of. But it is a very large municipal region in Canada, in northern Alberta. And these images are from the international airport in Fort McMurray that services the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo. A little bit of background on the region, and for those that don't know, there has been a significant amount of physical infrastructure that has been developed in Fort McMurray and the Wood Buffalo region, and that facility development included both outdoor venues, field and stadium, the baseball stadium, track and field or athletics facilities, and a significant trail network that you may be familiar with. Also, significant arena facilities, as well as aquatic facilities. And I can say that there was a significant commitment made to sport tourism, and you'll see a little bit about their hosting history and how that led to that commitment to sport tourism and how it contributed to the response and recovery from the Alberta wildfires in 2016. So Fort McMurray has a significant hosting resume. In addition to single sport events, it has hosted probably more multi-sport events than any jurisdiction in Canada. And those range from Alberta Games, both summer and winter, as well as upcoming the Arctic Winter Games, as well as Western Canada Summer Games. So all of that hosting history has enabled Fort McMurray to both bid for and be successful in hosting significant events in 2013 and 14. Curling was an area of particular focus. And then in 2014, at the onset of a peak period for hosting, Fort McMurray and the region hosted a sport tourism breakfast, which was included community stakeholders, where there was a socialization of the opportunity that sport tourism represented, but also what it can deliver to the community economically, socially, and culturally, and as well as providing sustainability for that significant physical infrastructure that had been built. 2015 and early 2016 was a peak period for sport tourism and sport hosting in the region. Everything from hockey to ringette championships. And then Fort McMurray, unlike any community in Canada, hosted both a preseason as well as a regular season CFL game in 2015. That was just at the onset or as a precursor to the Western Canada Summer Games, as well as an FC Edmonton game that also took place that year. The Syncrude Boreal Open, which was a Mackenzie Tour event, took place in multiple years, 2014 and 2015, as well as the CCAA Men's Basketball Championship and the Alberta Artistic Gymnastics Championship. So you can see a wide range of sports, but when you understand the physical assets that exist within Fort McMurray and the surrounding region, then you can see that there is a lot of capacity that exists within that jurisdiction. Then in April 2016, having made a significant commitment to sport tourism, as well as sport development in Fort McMurray and the Wood Buffalo region, the Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo Regional Council on April 12th of 2016 had endorsed a sport strategic plan, which was inclusive of both sport development as well as sport tourism. Then on May 3rd, everybody is aware of the significant destruction created by the Alberta wildfires, the evacuation of over 88,000 residents of Fort McMurray and surrounding areas, significant property destruction, both personal property as well as commercial properties. And unfortunately, during the evacuation, there was loss of life. So this was a significant event, not just in Fort McMurray or the Wood Buffalo region, but in the case of Alberta and all of Canada. This was a significant global event and one in which the response extended far beyond just the region or the province. It was all of Canada and really became a global event for many weeks. During that period, and this is Maslow's hierarchy of needs, really, people needed to take care of themselves and what their own individual needs were and ensure that they were safe and amongst friends, family, and their social network in order to ensure that they could rebuild that self-esteem before they could even think about trying to excel and improve both their own personal standing, but that of their family, their community, and their province. So all of that really comes down to the basic needs that people have. And in this particular case, with the evacuation of the entire region of all residents, really it became very basic in terms of what people's needs were, and to ensure, number one, that they were healthy and taken care of before they could start to reconnect with their community. So what did the road to recovery look like? In the initial stages, and I'm sure everybody can appreciate that, there was a desire to connect for members of the community. And as somebody from outside the community, I know all of Canada and beyond, we're looking to connect with those friends and family that we have and colleagues that we have in that area, and to ensure that it, to find out if there was anything that we could do. As part of that, there was a high degree of empathy that existed both within the tourism community, but as well as sport. And many sport organizations were trying to find ways that they could positively impact the situation, but only when the time was right. And that's part of that empathy, is ensuring that the time that you reach out matters when somebody is going through a crisis of this magnitude. The one thing that was probably different for Fort McMurray Tourism at the time was that they had already received funding approval for sport tourism to be initiated with the onset or onboarding of staff and budget in the 2016 year in order to launch a sport tourism program. That budget remained in place, and because of that, during the period of evacuation, when residents had left the region, they made the commitment to engage staff and bring them on board to start not just the implementation of that strategic plan, but more so to start identifying ways and means of having sport tourism be part of that recovery solution. Because those finances were in place, that makes it a little bit different from the current COVID-19 situation, because I know for many jurisdictions, many organizations, you're wondering about financial certainty, destination marketing funds or hotel marketing levies, whatever they might be called, those have been significantly impacted. So this is not entirely the same situation, but is one that you can hopefully draw some parallels from. With the onboarding of staff and the commitment of financial resources, then some of those human and financial assets were able to be put against this particular problem. The first thing that was done was around assessment, trying to determine what the current state of affairs was. And it was about 10 days after the evacuation that it was determined that the primary sport and recreation facilities in Fort McMurray were intact. They had not been impacted structurally as a result of the Alberta wildfires. And as a result, that gave some certainty that yes, sport events would be able to be hosted in the future. Also, defining the problem, that was similar to this, a moving target. And because of that, there wasn't a great deal of certainty about what the economic impacts would be, what the social cultural impacts would be, and what the sustainability of sport tourism or sport events would be following the return to the region. There was a significant effort undertaken to engage all levels of government to stay in contact with them, to let them know what was being done, what could be identified as a potential solution, or even building blocks toward a potential solution down the road. But the big unknown was when. When would residents be able to return? When would sport events be able to be hosted again in the region? June 1st, less than a month later, residents began re-entering Fort McMurray, and were able to start to come home. That was done in a phased approach, as our current recovery will be a phased approach, and not everybody could come back at one time. We know that with COVID-19, we won't be able to all come back, turn the lights on, and be able to start over from where we left off. The landscape will have changed significantly by then, as it did for many residents who were returning, in some cases, to significant property damage of their own homes, as well as a lot of uncertainty about work, school, family, all of those things that are core to what people's basic needs are. The reality was Fort McMurray was slated to host the Baseball Canada Cup in early August of 2016. With the knowledge that the facilities were still intact, then and the hotels were all able to welcome guests, then really everybody became part of the visitor servicing network in order to ensure that potential visitors to the region had the foresight about what would be open, what restaurants would be available, what their hours of operation were they going to be on a limited menu or was it full service? All of those things that factored into people's decisions about making the decision to travel, that happened. So our response wasn't tied necessarily to the strategic plan. This was more basic, ensuring that we were providing the supports that we needed to the Regional Recreation Corporation and the local organizing committee, but they were facing harsh realities. Members of the organizing committee had lost their homes, and there was some, certainly it wasn't as it had been prior to early May. So the result was we needed to find how we could support without unduly inserting ourselves into somebody else's role. So we became part of this visitor servicing network, trying to give that clarity, being proactive in sharing that information out to the competing teams that were coming from all 10 provinces so that they would be able to ensure that friends and family or others that may be choosing to travel to the region would know what their experience was like in advance. The positive outcome from this event that you can see, and this is from the STEAM Pro 2.0 economic impact analysis, was that participants and spectators, 32% of those came from outside of Alberta and other parts of Canada. What that tells us is that in 6 short weeks from the return in early June until the kickoff of the Baseball Canada Cup in early August, that the community was able to come together, the local organizing committee was able to deliver a successful baseball championship, but more importantly, the region was able to grow its economy and provide some confidence for some local businesses either to reopen or to extend their hours of operation, because there was certainty that people were going to come through their doors. And the result was that the average tourism spending over the course of the one-week championship was in excess of $1,000 per person. And 515 visitors to Wood Buffalo for the Baseball Canada Cup, just a few short weeks following the return of residents to the region, was a significant win for the region, for Baseball Canada, and I think for sport hosting in Canada. Later that year, Fort McMurray hosted the 2016 CCAA Men's Soccer National Championship. And one of the first, and I mentioned Baseball Canada, another national sport organization that stepped up early on in committing its support to the region in the recovery effort was Canada Soccer. And Canada Soccer, in addition to providing a member of their board of directors to come to the region during the CCAA Men's Soccer National Championship, also Steph Labbé, a goalkeeper for Team Canada, the women's national team, also attended, did clinics as part of the week of the CCAA Men's Soccer National Championship. And Canada Soccer was also extending its offer of whether it was clothing, other items that would help in the recovery effort. And all of those things made a positive impact, not just on the community in knowing that they were not in it alone, but also helping to further the development of that particular sport through the provision of clinics by a member of Team Canada. So all of that helped in that rebuilding process. Then in May 2017, the U21 Pan Am Volleyball Cup was staged in Fort McMurray at Keano College. And that event was able to engage the community in a significant way. You'll see some of the volunteer team along with Team Canada in this image. And this was perhaps the pinnacle, because we were in the bid process for the U21 Pan Am Volleyball Cup very shortly after the return of residents to the region. So part of the work that was undertaken was to secure the funding from public sector partners, all levels of government, as well as to ensure that Fort McMurray and the Wood Buffalo region would be able to stage a successful international championship just 1 year following the Alberta wildfires. And it was successful. And again, it did attract not just teams from Pan America, but also it was a significant milestone in letting Alberta, Canada, and the world know that Fort McMurray in the Wood Buffalo region was back open for business. So some of the lessons learned, and I've broken these out based on the response phase, recovery, and resiliency, but you'll see a theme emerging here that assessment is going to be part of each one of these phases. It's going to be a continual period of assessment and then reassessment, ensuring that you're adaptable and able to pivot and perhaps park some of your strategic planning or some of your business plan outcomes that have been identified for 2020, because 2020 has changed monumentally. And we need to perhaps reset on some of those expectations and reforecast on some of the timelines and some of the financial projections that we may have had for 2020, 2021, and what shall see from there. So when it came to the response phase assessment, in that case, there was continual assessment of what businesses would be open, whether those were restaurants, hotels, sport facilities, and venues. And then the planning had to be able to match up with what the available assets were that could be brought to bear. And as I mentioned, unlike the current situation, there was a commitment of resources, both staff and financial resources, during that response that were able to be put against this particular problem. During the recovery, again, there was more assessment that needed to take place, needed to reforecast on time, financial and otherwise. Communication during the recovery, there was one area that I think in hindsight was a miss, and that was trying to communicate too broadly, too early. I think as we go through this and as people are going to be focused on their own personal needs first, I think communication and when is that right time, that's something that is going to depend on each of your individual locations and what the environment looks like to ensure that communication is appropriate and timed accordingly. And then really during the recovery, it was about confidence, giving business owners and operators the confidence to either reopen or move back toward a full service offering, and giving confidence to potential visitors to travel to the region. But also significantly was giving confidence to those rights holders that yes, Fort McMurray and the Wood Buffalo region would be able to host their event and would be able to host it successfully. Then during resiliency, reassessment, because through each of these phases, things will emerge, the landscape will shift, and we will need to ensure that we can adapt accordingly. Implementation, that's when you can start to look at implementing your strategic plan if you haven't changed that plan. And that's something that that I would suggest needs to be considered as well. And then growth. Growth will be the last phase of this, and there isn't a fixed timeline on when that growth can start to be forecast, because it's going to be stability and maintenance before growth can even be a consideration. So because many of these targets are moving, and as with any business problem, trying to identify the problem is perhaps the biggest challenge that we're all facing currently, because we don't know when it's going to end. We've all heard that until there's a vaccine, that mass gatherings may not be possible or may be problematic. So all of those things are shifting, and until we can get some clarity on what that time horizon looks like, then it will continue to be a moving target. Financial resources, that is changing weekly, if not daily, for many municipalities, many DMOs, many sport organizations, and other rights holders that are looking to get some stability in terms of their financial position. And then quality event experiences. We want to ensure that Canada as a host nation is able to live up to the high standards that we've set as a leading sport hosting nation globally. And we want to ensure that when the time is right, that Canada can once again be a preferred destination for many international sport events. Human resources are going to be shifting, and we are going to need to get creative. There are many government programs that have been launched over the last number of weeks, but those may not necessarily be a solution for us all based on the structure of our organization. So we need to ensure that we've got some ability to pivot and adapt to whatever those program offerings might be. Partnerships, there are opportunities for us to keep engaged with our partners, whether they be NSOs or MSOs, as well as destination organizations. Each of us has an opportunity to continue to maintain those partnerships without anybody doing a hard sell at this point, because we don't, even if we could sell, we don't know what it is that we're selling under the current environment. And then your strategic plan, as I mentioned earlier, I would park that for the time being, and you may want to do a reassessment once we come through the other side of COVID-19. The good news, because this isn't all bad news, is that sport tourism has been and will continue to be a stabilizing force during periods of volatility within the industry. Whether it was 9/11, SARS, H1N1, the global economy, all of those things significantly impacted tourism, and sport tourism and sport hosting was a constant and was that stabilizing force that could ensure and give confidence to some of those operators that their businesses would be able to continue on and be able to be more sustainable than if sport events were not to take place. So what does success look like? As we mentioned earlier, it comes down to everybody's own personal needs, and that is going to be primary for the coming weeks and number of months. We don't know how many months that will be, but when mass gatherings start to happen, because many of our jurisdictions are as few as two, a gathering of two people, and then there's five, there's 10. Once mass gatherings are an option, then we need to understand that most are going to look to grow, unlike Fort McMurray did, which was hosting a national event just a few weeks following the return of residents. In this case, it may be a little bit more linear in that people are going to be looking to travel closer to home first before they start to venture out provincially, nationally, and then before we can start thinking about some international activity as well. So all of those things will need to be factored in. But again, with the moving targets of time, financial resources, and other factors. But it is not all bad news. What can you do now? CSTA, for destination organizations, some of you may be aware that we have the Sport Tourism Assessment Template, or STAT. And I would suggest that it would be a worthwhile exercise for destination organizations to go through that process pre-COVID, and then once we get to the other side of this pandemic, then reassess, so then you can determine where it is that your host jurisdiction is as well. For NSOs and MSOs and other rights holders, I think reviewing your hosting programs and your strategic plans, figuring out what the next 12, 24, 36 months is going to look like, as well as what those longer term horizons may bring. We do know that sport events will come back, but we don't know when. And we, as individual organizations, will need to manage with our own fiscal realities to ensure that that they can come back strong, or that they can be there when we get to the other side of this. And then on the economic impact, many events have been postponed and pushed from 2020 to 2021 or beyond. So now would be a good time to perhaps reassess what those economic impact projections might be. Maybe that changes. Some of those costs that have already been invested in your 2020 events, those costs, if they've already been sent, actually are part of that economic impact equation. And it is an opportunity for you to assess what the true economic impact projection is for each of those sport events. And many of you have seen this before, but this is the CSTA Sport Tourism Roadmap. This is a 10-step process that was intended to ensure that sport tourism could be both predictable and repeatable, but also sustainable. And this 10-step process that starts with event hosting structure and resources and goes through until legacy from each event, this is perhaps more important than ever. And is connected to the Sport Tourism Assessment Template. So it is something that you can use as a tool as you start to remap what your recovery looks like, but then what your resiliency may look like as well. How can CSTA help you? We have already started a survey of member destinations, and for those that have completed that, we appreciate that and would ask that that and we may be reaching out to you to try to update that information because it is evolving so quickly. We will be sending out a survey to sport organizations as well, because we also want to understand what the impacts are to your hosting programs, so that you can help us identify what some of the challenges are, what those current pain points are for your organizations. And we recognize that that is and can be very different between host destinations and sport organizations or other rights holders. Some of the things that we've already heard from our early input include focusing on events as a recovery initiative, which, as we've talked about in the case of Fort McMurray, it was used as one of those recovery initiatives, but one of many recovery initiatives. For CSTA to advocate for sport hosting and sport tourism, to be that information hub, especially when it comes to funding, because the funding landscape right now is a little bit like spaghetti map, and trying to find out what you qualify for and who's in, what's excluded, all of that can be very confusing, and CSTA can be that source for good intel for you, so that you can make informed decisions. And then maintaining the connection between sport and tourism. Unfortunately, the Sport Event Congress in Edmonton in March was one of those cancellations. And as a result, both sport and tourism organizations are looking for ways to remain connected without, as I mentioned earlier, that hard sell or anything that might not necessarily be appropriate because there is so much uncertainty in sport and tourism at the current time. Now, we would like to show you a video that has been presented to international rights holders. And just to let you know that not all is lost, that sport tourism can contribute and be part of the solution as Canada comes back from this.
Nation, we almost define ourselves through the power of sport. It's part of our DNA, it's in our blood. We're polite, but we're fierce competitors. Having competed in thousands of arenas around the world, there is no place like Canada.
Canada is known for putting on amazing events. Every event we do in Canada comes with the passion of our volunteers behind it. We have the plans, we have the people, and most of all, we have the passion to deliver on the best experiences for competitions anywhere.
I think in the Olympics in Vancouver 2010, Canada showed the world really what it has to offer.
From the Pan-Am and Para-Pan-Am Games and the Women's FIFA World Cup, we have created that environment for sport that's second to none.
Les événements qu'on soit en ville, ça fait tellement une grande différence dans le chiffre d'affaires, dans l'achalandage, dans le nombre d'employés qu'on engage.
You will have an experience of a lifetime.
Athletes love coming here beyond the scope of competition. There are always so many places to go and see, whether it's skiing in Whistler or checking out the sites in Halifax.
If you bring your event here, our people will welcome you with open arms, and you'll not find a better place. You know, everybody is just so happy to welcome you.
Guaranteed success. That's Canada.
And as a follow-up to that video, one thing I would like to mention is that when it comes to Canada and hosting, as was mentioned, it is in our DNA, whether it's welcoming in a family to take a hot shower or have a meal when they're staying in a recovery center because they've been displaced by a natural disaster, or whether it's taking in international travelers who are stranded because of a global terrorism event. All of those things have significantly impacted each of those people, but really when it comes down to it, providing those basic levels of service and humanity is what can and will separate Canada from other international hosting destinations. So we will be back, and we know that. As part of this series, I just wanted to let you know that next week at the same time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, Derek Major, the Senior Economic Impact Consultant for CSTA, will be facilitating a webinar on using economic impact data in your COVID-19 recovery strategy. And then 2 weeks from today, again at 1 p.m. Eastern time, Brent Barutez from the Partnership Group we'll be speaking about your corporate sponsorship revenue program, the new normal post-COVID-19. At this point, I will thank you, everybody, for taking the time out of your days. Hopefully, we were able to provide you with some usable information from a relevant and recent circumstance that took place in Canada. And we look forward to working with you over the coming weeks and months as we all try to find our way, not just through this, but past this, to ensure that Canada will once again be one of the leading sport hosting nations in the world. With that, I will pass it back to Rick, who will facilitate questions and answers.
Thanks very much, Grant. I had forwarded a couple of questions to you earlier. Do you have them handy?
Stand by. Yes. One of the questions that we'd received from a host destination was around sport tourism and its ability to contribute to the recovery. And as we mentioned, the opportunity for sport tourism to be part of that solution is going to rely on some partnership with some other organizations. So good communication with all levels of government, ensuring that you assess your hosting capacity on a ongoing basis, and then providing the opportunities to ensure that you're hosting events that fit with what the current situation is on the ground. One other thing that I will mention is that the WHO, World Health Organization, has a great resource. It's an assessment tool that will help you to determine for your mass gathering, your sport event, if you are ready to host that based on the current situation, where those participants and spectators may be coming from. So I would encourage you to go to the World Health Organization page on mass gatherings, and they do have, it's a simple Excel spreadsheet that can help you to assess if and when your area is able to host at the current time. Next question we have is, can NSOs provide an update on the impacts on the qualification event calendar for the Olympics? So I think what we'll do is we will take that question away and we will try to communicate with NSOs to get a sense of if there is a consistent approach for the qualification event calendar leading up to the Olympics, and we'll communicate that back out. Next question, are sport rights holders planning to focus more on regional and provincial events in the short to medium term? While there is no certainty with that, as we mentioned with the changing landscape, but it stands to reason that that it will start with intercommunity first once mass gatherings have been approved by public health authorities. So from there, because there are even some restrictions on interprovincial travel within Canada, I think that a lot is going to depend on those public health authorities and information and intelligence that they're able to provide to us. But it will likely move in a very linear fashion from local to international.
Another question, Grant. Did local businesses sponsor Fort McMurray events after the fires, or did they rely primarily on provincial and national sponsors?
It was a combination, and I can say that that the public sector funding for any of the various levels of government was not disproportionate post wildfire than it would have been prior to the wildfires, nor has it changed significantly since then. So it was the same balance of both public and private sector partnerships that were in place for any of those that were during the recovery phase or during the resiliency phase. So yes, there was funding from all levels of government, but it was not disproportionate than it would have been prior to or following the wildfires.
Another question, and I'll paraphrase it here. Is it possible for national and provincial sport organizations that have not yet awarded bids or events for 2022 and beyond to circulate those RFPs to provide kind of an advance opportunity for communities to bid on them?
Right, good question. So building out that pipeline or extending that pipeline with a longer term horizon. And I don't want to speak for any national sport organizations, but I think what many are going through is with the impacts of 2020 postponements and or cancellations, how does that cascade into 2021, 22, and beyond? But that's a great point and something that perhaps we can work in the communication of that so that we can support both sport and tourism in order to extend that pipeline horizon much further out.
Very good. Okay, thanks very much. Thanks very much, Grant. If you have any other additional questions for Grant, please send them along and we'll post the answers on the website. Final reminder to register on our homepage for to receive our alerts, get on our communications database, and check back regularly for updates on COVID-19 updates. Thanks again for participating. Stay safe, everyone, and brighter days ahead. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.